We will now go ahead and begin our media availabilities. We are joined by Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Interstate Batteries Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. We'll go ahead and open it up to the media for questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get a mic over to you. We'll go in the back to Pat and then up to the front to Nate.
Pat Nicola, NASCAR.com. Yesterday you tweeted a picture of you and Brexton from Victory Lane here from a couple years ago where it's the lobster was bigger than Brexton. So I'm curious, like, how you look at your career now is like the pre-Brexton era to now and how maybe you've changed?
Don't know that I've ever necessarily looked at a pre-Brexton era and a post, but since there's something else that kind of happened around that same time frame, and that was Adam Stevens. So, I think just having the opportunities to work with him and to have the communications that we have from, you know, the Xfinity side that transferred to the Cup side, since 2015. But also, since having Brexton, there's been, some good success as well, too. Championship in 2015, certainly would have liked to have won a couple more. We've been in the championship four years in a row, but can't seem to close out the deal when it matters most in the final race, the only race that counts. We just got to keep fighting for that and trying to get better and making sure that we're ready to go when it comes down that time.
We'll come down here to Nate and then to Jeff.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Kyle, a lot of concerns about the heat with the way that the cars are sealed off with the right side windows, the engine bay, the brake heat, I would think, at a place like this. Are you expecting it to be bad Sunday with temperatures in the mid-90s? It will be worse in traffic, and how will you deal with it?
There's nothing I'm going to do to change it, so the hotter the better. Bring it. You know, I've been working my ass off for 2 years for days like this, so let's go.
Can you explain, is it because of the way that the right side sealed off and stuff underneath is sort of sealed off with a bigger pan? Is that sort of why it's hotter?
It's just, it's hot outside. There's this whole thing called global warming that we're all either aware of or not very aware of, however you want to interpret that, but... With the race cars, they're hot things anyways, exhaust temperatures are in the thousands of degrees, your engine temperatures are running hotter now than they've ever run before, so you've got the underbody, with our cars being sealed off closer to the ground, there's less airflow underneath the cars, so it kind of just gets heat soaked, and you can definitely feel those things throughout the course of the day. Like when you get in the car and you strap in and you put your helmet on, everything's kind of cool, like you feel okay, and then as the race progresses and you have long green flag runs, everything heat soaks and gets up to temperature, that's when you start to feel the hottest. Right side windows being in there, that doesn't help things. They give us a NACA that we're able to have, but obviously the crew chiefs say it's better to have that closed off, so we're allowed dampeners on our hoses, and so we run them closed all the time. So it's just do what we're told to do and suffer the consequences, I guess.
We'll go to Jeff and then to the front to Lee.
Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Kyle, I'm going to expose my total ignorance here, but I don't understand the effect of the heat on the PJ1. So, does that pick it up faster? Does it activate it more? How will that affect things during the race?
Yeah, so if it was cold outside, let's say it was in the, 50s or something here, track temp being probably in the 70s or something, it would take a little bit for that to get burn in, for it to get warmed up, for it to activate, for it to become stickier, I guess the best explanation I can give you is, this is going against code for Mars, but Jolly Rancher, right? If it's a cold Jolly Rancher, it's probably sticky, but it's not that sticky. When it gets hot, right, you leave it inside the cockpit of your car, it's going to be really sticky. That's essentially the comparison I have. That's kind of how I look at it. So the warmer it is, I guess, it'll be sticky for a while. And then once it gets, there might even be a time in which it's too hot, that then it's just slimy. You know what I mean? So I don't think we'll see that here this weekend, though. I think that stuff's pretty good.
Does it pick it up, though?
It wears it away, yeah. So the rubber of the tire, as you're running on it, they spray it and then they burn it in with the tire dragon, whatever. And then as we run across it, like last week, you can kind of see us taking away the black that it leaves when they first put it down, and it turns into a sheen. Like it's kind of like taking it away, like it's just wearing it away. So it kind of polishes it, per se.
We'll go to Lee and then to Matt in the middle.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoards.com. Was there anything out of the ordinary that happened to Hamlin before he wrecked the car that you know of, or have you been briefed on it?
No.
Okay. And headed to Pocono next week, after you were there earlier last month, do you feel like you have a good notebook with the new car configuration that you can take back and be successful with?
I'd like to think so. You know, we were pretty good there last time. There were a couple guys that were as fast as we were. It was kind of hard to pass in certain situations. There were some unique opportunities on restarts that didn't really seem to present itself that we all expected it to. But past all that, you know, for as good as we were, we're now going back with the PJ1 being sprayed on lane 2 in all three corners, lane 2 and 3, I guess, in all three corners. So that'll be a different variable than we've had there in the past, and we'll just have to play it all out and see what happens when we get there. And typically at those places, like any mile and a half that we go to where you have to get out of the gas just a little bit, it seems like us, 18, the Gibbs cars, whatever, we can run okay with those guys. But anywhere that we go that you have to run wide open, like all the way around, like Kansas or Chicago, we sort of struggle, and there's some other teams that are better than us. But like California, we were super fast because you had to get out of the gas and play with it some. And then Pocono was that same way, so we were really fast there. So I feel good about that, at least, going back.
How do you think the PJ1's going to affect that?
Affect what exactly?
Just Pocono, the different lanes there.
Yeah. I don't know if it will. I mean, you would like to think that it's going to present more opportunities to just get out of the guy in front of you's wake. I think what we're expecting it to do is if you go off into the corner and you follow somebody, you have to lose ground to them in order to maintain the same line that they're running. You can't gain on them following them. You have less downforce. You're just not going to make that time. So if you can offset yourself wider than them and you can at least maintain that gap and you can come off the corner kind of with a little bit of a momentum from the high side that it typically gives you, then you can make a run on the straightaways and you have a chance to be able to race with the guy that you're following and you don't just have to be stuck behind him. So that's the theory anyways. We'll see how that works.
Look right here.
Matthew Werner with 22 News. Kyle, I wanted to ask you, I know a lot of the Cup drivers have said over time that the modified rubber, when you guys go out for practice, affects the track a little bit. Did it affect your car this morning?
Yeah. It always does. It just, you know, I guess sometimes if you're loose, you get looser. If you're tight, you get tighter. It just kind of depends. It just seems like it's a little bit greasier of a feel to fire off with. And as that burns off, or as we pull that rubber off and put our rubber down, you know, I wouldn't say it necessarily picks up grip. It just becomes more constant, and consistent. So, you know, we've got Xfinity cars right now wearing some PJ1 off, and then you're going to have a modified race, then you're going to have Xfinity cars again, then we have our qualifying. So I expect our qualifying to be slower than what we were in practice. And then, I'm sure they'll probably reapply either tonight or maybe even tomorrow after the Xfinity race.
Go right to the back.
Mike Cronin, WMUR. Kyle, could you talk about being back in New Hampshire? What do you think of the Motor Speedway here, and how do you approach this track?
Yeah, I love coming up here. I've got a lot of friends from the area. I've raced over at Thunder Road before. I've raced over at Oxford before, so I've been around this area a little bit, racing in the short tracks and stuff. So a few of those friends come on over here sometimes and visit a little bit, so that's good. But, yeah, I enjoy coming to New Hampshire. This has been a pretty successful place for us. We tend to qualify well here, race well here. We've won here a couple times. We've been kind of the car to beat, one of the guys to beat here, I think, about, I don't know, the last 2, 3, 4 years maybe. And, you know, sometimes guys really, really hit on it, and they're better than us, and we're always consistently good here. So hopefully we can keep that pattern going at least and be consistently good here again, but maybe we can hit on it better than somebody else and try to win.
We'll come right down here to the front.
Hi, Kyle. Terrell Covey with Portsmouth Herald. I'm just wondering, you mentioned, you know, racing at Oxford, racing at Thunder Road, and Christopher Bell was up there this week. You know, for you guys to come to these local tracks, especially on race weekend, and kind of serve as almost as kind of ambassadors to NASCAR, these short tracks, you know, why do you do that, and why do you think that's important?
Well, I think it's important to be able to have a strong foundation. You know, our sport is based off the short track ranks. It's based off grassroots racing, and so having people be able to come out and support their local short tracks, that's where stars are born. You know, they pick up their start, whether it's in Legends cars or Bandoleros or go-karts or whatever it might be, and move into modifieds and late models and stuff from the local short tracks all the way up through to the big time. So if we don't have those short tracks surviving, you're not going to have younger generations being able to learn and grow and develop their talents into being able to move up the ladder. So it's important to keep the bases strong. And I know Kevin Harvick is very passionate about it. Myself, you know, some of these other guys. I know Larson does a lot of the dirt stuff. Denny Hamlin's had his charity race a few times at some of his favorite local short tracks that he's grown up at. So it's good to have those guys that still kind of give back to that community and know where we all got our start.
Paul Lambert from Short Track Scene. Kyle, you just mentioned your love for short track racing. Would you ever think about hopping in one of these modifieds here and giving that a shot?
No. No. Deal behind that was years ago I asked I wanted to run one, and J.D. Gibbs told me no. So I've respected his wishes and haven't asked to run a modified race here. I'd like to. I'd do it, but I just respect his wishes. If they ran the late models here when we were here for a weekend, I'd probably bring my late model up and run the late model race, you know, because I'm used to those cars. I've run those cars a long time, and I've run at the Milwaukee Mile before, so it'd be cool to run here.
Are there any final questions for Kyle? We'll go to Lee, and that'll wrap it up.
Curtis often told me that the fact that Tom ran you guys in so many different varieties of racing growing up really helped you become complete drivers. Do you agree with his assessment?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if I had to do it over again, I would do a lot of the same stuff. And matter of fact, there's probably a couple more things that I'd like to get in and drive that I never did get the chance to drive. You know, and I do actually kind of have that chance to do over again. That's if my son wants to do it. Put him in some stuff and run some quarter midgets I never ran. You know, I don't know if we need to do the go-kart thing, but, you know, get into the Legends cars again, the Bandoleros, stuff like that, modifieds. And by doing all of those things, like Legends, we ran pavement and dirt and road course. Modifieds, we ran pavement and dirt. Late models, we ran pavement. We could have run late models on dirt. We just never knew of anybody. We couldn't afford that. So we never knew of anybody that we could get in a late model car. They weren't really that popular out west, but they're really popular out here. And obviously running super lates and stuff like that across the country in different series is pretty neat. Seeing different guys racing against different top guys that have been at some of these places for years, like Mike Rowe up here, or the other one's passing my mind right now. Why can't I think of it? Shaw, you know, guys like that. And, you know, going and run Junior Hanley, you know, running against guys like that is something that was cool for me to do when I was 16, 17 years old. And, you know, you'd give anything to have those days back and do that over again.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Kyle. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks.